Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Many people ask me what public relations firms do for theater, and some of them think they just hand out press releases on email and hand us out a press kit when we get to the show, but it's obviously a lot more. So I thought I would interview one of the premier ladies of Chicago theater, Noreen Herron, who runs Noreen Herron and Associates Public Relations Firm. Hello, Noreen.
Hi, thank you for that introduction.
Tell us what public relations firms do for theater.
Well, we try to fill seats more than anything. We bring audiences in to appreciate the great work that's on stage. How do we do that is the million-dollar question with each production. You're so right. I think oftentimes when I talk to people and I say PR, they think it is about just taking RSVPs. And even if it was just about taking RSVPs, you yourself as a press person know that everyone's schedules are busy. There are, I think, over 300 theaters in Chicago.
And so many conflict, yeah.
And there can be some nights when there's 9 shows opening in one night. So our job is to make sure that every theater critic is at our production on opening night. And sometimes that can you can call one press person 5 times to make sure that they're in attendance. But it is so much more than that. I mean, obviously now it involves a great deal of social media. We are working to pitch each theater locally. So if you take one of our theaters like Marriott Theater or Drury Lane Theater, where there can be up to 30 people in a cast right now, we just opened West Side Story last night. There's 31 actors in the cast.
Fantastic production.
Tremendous production. But 31 members in the cast, we give them bio forms. We find out where they're from, where they currently reside, and where they went to school.
So you do the bios, sort of?
Well, no, we don't do the stage bill bios, but we do bio forms that we ask them to fill out. So we find out where they grew up. So let's say they grew up in Barrington, then we're pitching them to Pioneer Press. And now they live in the South Suburbs, so we're pitching them to the Southtown Star. And they graduated from DePaul, so we're pitching them to the DePaul newspaper. So right there with a cast of 31, you can see that's in excess of 90 pitches. That's another element. We're setting up promotions with third parties, let's say American Express, for instance. We're trying to bring influencers in, obviously get bloggers in, local concierges, people that we think are tipping point people that will help us sell our show.
I can see concierges. People come to the hotel and they want to know what to go see.
Exactly. But even in terms of what a publicist does, crafting the initial release, creating a release that makes the production sound exciting and really does justice to what is being seen on stage can often take many go-arounds back and forth with the client until we're both on the same page that we think this truly represents the production well. Then there's post-publicity. After a show opens, we take photos of the cast and we're placing those on various websites and on various social publications.
Now you're doing video too. You were one of the first ones to do video.
We were. Yeah. Thank you for that. We were. We started a video series called After the Final Curtain. And the part of the reason that we did it was we thought, wouldn't everybody like to see what these actors really look like off stage and how great they look at these opening night parties? And wouldn't people like to see what these opening night parties are like? And so we did do that and enjoyed some success. And that was another part of what we do. We try to always reach the demographic of what show is on our whatever stage we're repping. So that's, for instance, we're representing First Date at the Royal George.
Yeah, and I'm going to come see that. That sounds like fun.
Thank you. I hope you will. But we're working right now with singles organizations and dating websites. And so with each show, there's a great deal of legwork that goes into.
So you're really going for the niche, which is everything is niche today.
It really, truly is. And it's funny because I don't think anyone who's in publicity, period, is probably any different than I am, where I can go no matter what it is. I can go to a grocery store. I can sit on a plane. I can be in a hotel. And I look at how full it is and what else could be done or could have been done to try to sell that entity. So I think publicists, we have this desire. I know for me, it comes from a place of I'm so proud to represent the venues that we do. And I feel so compelled to make sure that there's audiences there appreciating it. And that certainly...
So it's more than a job. It sounds like a passion.
Always been a passion for me. And I always tell young publicists, find what you really want to talk about all day. If you're into fashion or sports, or for me, it was always theater. And then I worked for Hyatt for 5 years, and hotels became a passion of mine too. So that's why we do so many hotels and theaters and restaurants.
Tell us about your theater background, because you have a unique background, which qualifies you for certainly to do public relations work, but to do other things in theater.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Well, I started working illegally at Candlelight Dinner Playhouse when I was 14. I lied about my age to start working there, and I worked as an usher. I always say I had the most magical childhood, because my job as an usher was to seat people, and then when the show started, to reconcile the tickets and sit in the lobby. And as I was reconciling tickets, I was there to make sure that if anyone came out to use the restroom, that they safely were escorted upstairs to the mezzanine so that they could watch the show from the mezzanine, so that they didn't re-enter the theater and risk harm to themselves or to the actors.
Yeah, because so that was a unique theater.
It was an in-the-round theater. Yeah. And so every entrance and exit was used by the actors during the show. And I would listen to musicals 8 shows a week, night after night. So I did that. I worked at Candlelight for 16 years. I went on to become a manager at the theater, put me through college. And then I went on from there to do everything from handling their PR to managing season subscription campaigns. I worked in the box office here and there. I did a little bit of everything, which I always think makes me sort of uniquely suited to do what I do, because I never came from it just as a from the agency side. I always came from it understanding just how hard it is to produce a show, how much appreciation I have for producers and crew and cast, because when you're in that environment for 16 years, you know how hard it is, and you have such a respect for these
people. And you know, you really learn the shows too, right?
Oh my gosh. Well, I
you probably know hundreds of songs.
Right? I'm a musical theater trivia nut, but I really do come to it, Tom, with a passion every day, and I love it. And I feel like for anyone in life, if for your job to feel like you do it for free, but on days when it really goes haywire and wrong, you're grateful to get the check. but I've
never work when it's when you're doing something that you love and it's a passion, right? Not a job. It's a passion.
I've been so fortunate. I was thinking that last night with West Side Story. I thought, well, I would be buying tickets to West Side Story if I wasn't here to see this. And then coming up, Billy Elliot, and coming up, Beaches, and La Caja Fall opens next week with Jing Wagon at Marriott. And of course, I would be going to see that, and I'd be buying tickets. I'm lucky enough to be the person that gets to represent it and tell everyone to go see it. So
that's fantastic. So tell us now about developing an anticipation or a buzz for a show. Because in some of the classic textbooks on how to produce shows that I've read through the years, they say anticipation is important, but to not overhype it, because sometimes they overhype what's a mediocre show,
right?
And then people are disappointed because it isn't what everyone thought it would be. So how do you balance that?
That's so true. Well, first of all, it's funny, the two words that do help any show sell are sold out, because people do want to see a hit. That's first and foremost.
Oh, okay.
So if you're fortunate enough to work on a show like we were with West Side Story, where it's the fastest selling show in Drury Lane history, we did start putting in the ads, get your tickets now, many performances are sold out. And people read that. I think that was the case with the Book of Mormon as well. The higher the demand for tickets, the more people want it. They're clamoring to get tickets. So, but in terms of creating buzz, first of all, I just have to say, have a terrific team of people, because I have people that I've worked with at my agency for years, Kate Hughes, Leanne Weicker, Holly Gustafson, Ellen Molina, who are all equally passionate about what we do.
Yeah,
and so
real
pros, you have to have people that are just incredible advocates for the clients. And I think that PR is one of those professions where when a show is as spectacular as the one we saw last night, you're feeling like, wow, well, it's the product on stage, but it's the publicist that helps get the people in to see that product on stage, especially in the early weeks of a show when there isn't quite, there isn't the word of mouth yet. We're, as we are today, mm-hmm. talking about everyone should go see this. But how do we create buzz? I mean, we do that in a lot of different ways, and we do it in a lot of non-traditional, we have a lot of non-traditional methods that we've done through the years to create buzz. Just a few of our more creative campaigns. I mean, we've done everything from when we represented Motherhood, the musical, we did a whole sidewalk chalk campaign where we wrote Motherhood, the musical, in chalk at playgrounds and parks around the city of Chicago.
Great. Did it work?
It worked. It was unbelievable. It went sort of viral from there. And then we also did it at train stations when they were getting off right at the exit there. Mm-hmm. And we just put the website, which was really fantastic. But we create a lot of big publicity stunts with the shows that we've done through the years too. I think we do have a reputation as an agency that's able to keep a show going, that is able to get a good commercial run out of a show. And I mean, we've created our own 50,000 person email list of theater enthusiasts.
Talk about that, because I have told, you know, in internet marketing, they all talk about the money's in the list.
Yes.
And I've talked to so many theater companies about get a list, give something away, you know.
Absolutely.
Because the list of people is golden. And you've developed 50,000.
50,000 people. And I kind of joke because my passion for wanting to sell for my clients, I have insomnia. And so I started just inputting lists 15 years ago when I started the agency late at night, one by one, just like you'd sew a quilt. I started with this list and I'd blast it once a month, and it would go out to 1,000 people and 2,000 people. And I don't know, maybe in year three, I started to get emails. Can I be added to this list? Because often our clients will provide discounts for their whatever, for the hotel stays or restaurants and theaters. So we just, year over year, we added people that we thought were the right kinds of people, meeting planners, international list, group leaders, gosh, you name it, boards of every kind of organization. And now it's up to 50,000 people. And we actually now have people that call us to advertise in the newsletter. So,
very good.
But it's a great tool because there aren't, in New York, so much of selling a show is buying e-blast lists, mm-hmm. Broadway Box, and other types of lists. In Chicago, we really don't have that. And so we created that, and we have the largest list. I mean, there might be theaters that have their own internal list that might be larger, but I know of no list that you can purchase of theater enthusiasts in Chicago that's larger than our list. So,
do you rent your list out?
No, I've never done that. No, and I keep it. There's a lot of integrity in that list,
yeah.
Because we only blast once a month. We never do a dedicated blast just for one client. I've been asked that over and over again. Could we do that? And I don't want people opting out. I want to keep it where people want to open the newsletter. And we get a lot of return in terms of the box office people coming in using our discount codes and that. So it's powerful.
Yeah.
And then additionally, we have a whole barter advertising program where for nights when we think we might not sell out, we trade tickets for display advertising space and newspapers and websites. And that's another way that
my friend Al Breslov does that.
Yes,
yeah,
he does.
Yeah, Al,
right.
Does a lot of that.
He does. And I mean, there's so many different ways to create buzz. I always say you have to have almost a vegetable soup where you have to see an actor maybe interviewed. You have to see a review. You've got to go on Facebook or Twitter and see someone talking about it. You might see an ad then. And then all of these things collectively finally get someone to say, I'm going to get my credit card out and buy a ticket to that show.
And that's the ultimate goal, right?
We talk in the office about what is going to make someone take out their credit card to do this. And because that's the bottom line. When we all hear of so many different cultural attractions in Chicago, things we can do. And what makes someone decide to choose our clients' work? And that's what is always our goal, is how do we push that? And how do we make sure that it's exciting and presented in a fashion that creates anticipation?
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to have you name your clients, because you represent top show theater companies. Is that part of your plan? Or do you think, you know, at what point did you help make them that way, or are you select? Are there theater companies that you wouldn't represent?
Well, that's a really good question. It definitely helped to come from one of the most legendary theaters in Chicago, Candlelight. I think
sure
that I had worked there for so long, and one of the best parts of my job is that I still get to work with so many great people from Candlelight who are now doing wonderful things in the Chicagoland area.
Everybody got their start there, yeah.
It's so true. And so, I mean, Eileen Licario was the marketing director. Bill Polinzi was obviously artistic director, and now I work with him at Theater at the Center, one of our clients. Tony D'Angelo has produced many shows at the Mercury and the Royal George through the years that he's retained us for. But we represent Marriott Theater, Drury Lane, First Folio, Stage 773, Theater at the Center, the Royal George. We rep the Chicago Theater events there frequently. We've done big venues like the Allstate Arena, certainly other smaller venues. We're doing a play called Picture Imperfect at the Athenaeum coming up. So the question you have, though, in terms of how did it get that way, very much through the years, I've vetted the business that's come in. So I would say half of what comes in the door, we decide it's not the cachet that we want or the level that we want. And so it has become that. And I actually have had press people who've said, oh, wow, this theater's now at a level where they're hiring your agency. So
that's the way I view it, too. A lot of people view it that way, that this just the prestige if you represent, like when you represent a First Folio, that was a big step.
Oh, thank you.
They do great work, but they needed help.
Thank you. Well, it's very exciting when, and you know, with First Folio, we were able to obtain a $25,000 grant. So my philosophy is always, if we're working with a theater company, we have to be bringing in for them what they're paying us, because theater is a very tough business. And so we become involved in a lot of non-traditional ways with our theater companies. We kind of feel like we can't do enough for them. And so we're kind of a, we don't say no agency in terms of our work ethic. So
do you get involved with the selection of plays? I mean, with your expertise, which is another area that may not be public relations, but with your background, though, especially knowing musicals.
Right.
Are you in on the loop?
Some theaters I am, and some theaters I'm not. I would say more often than not, I am. I think
I'm sure they listen to you, right, because you have this background.
Right. I mean, I've been working in theater for so many years now, and I think they often find that I'm helpful in terms of knowing the history of how a show did in Chicago.
Yeah, that's got to be important.
And so that is certainly, there are some theaters that we have one or two or sometimes three meetings a year on what the season is going to be. And I always think the very hardest decision for a theater is what their season's going to be. That's the biggest decision of the whole year.
Especially when a lot of your theaters have subscription audiences. So if they get a hit show, they can't really extend it very far.
That's right.
Because the next show is coming in.
That's absolutely right. And it kills you when you're running a theater and that happens. At the same time, I remember Candlelight when we kept extending Phantom, and at some point the subscribers were very angry that it kept being extended. So
didn't that happen with Fiddler too?
Yeah. Well, at that time it was okay. For some reason, the subscribers dealt with that one okay.
Well, they love Lee Pelty.
We all miss Lee Pelty. Yeah, we all miss Lee Pelty. Yeah, I have so many good memories of my time at Candlelight, and it taught me so much. I have the fondest memories of working there. My sister and my brother both worked there. Candlelight was the kind of organization where your whole family worked there. There was one family that had 12 children. They all worked there at one time or another. And it was
just, so no wonder Bill is so loyal to people because they really helped them build it, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was such a real family.
I never missed going. I saw just about all the shows through the years there.
And
it was just fabulous.
They were wonderful. Yeah. And I was fortunate in that, growing up as a kid there were actors like Dale Benson and Bob Thompson that would help me with my homework in the lobby. And I mean, now I'm so fortunate to be able to represent them, but talk about good memories.
Let's talk about how audiences have changed. I know one of the challenges for all theaters, I tend to go on opening nights if I can, and it's an older audience. How do we get the young guys like Jacob here? How do we get the younger audiences in? What's your strategy on that?
Well, it's interesting because when I worked at Candlelight in PR and I was 24 years old, starting as the PR director at Candlelight, I remember bemoaning at the time the graying the graying audiences and what's happening with our theaters now, and gosh, how do we get younger audiences in? And it's many years later now, and I'm still bemoaning the same fact. So I've just begun to accept that that's always going to be an issue, that we're always going to worry about how do we get young people into theater. And I think that the answer to that is the same as how we get anyone into the theater. It's creating a level of excitement with a show that it just becomes, there's just a demand that someone has to see that show. And I think that we've done all sorts of student programs and student discounts.
Yeah, what do you think of that, of the theater companies that have special product, like I'm going to see Shakespeare, they do the short Shakespeare for the middle school and the high schools. Right. Do you encourage that with your theaters and with making like family packages? Like West Side Story, not for all kids, but right, younger kids would, I think middle school would certainly
absolutely
take to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a student discount isn't a revolutionary idea. That's for sure. But I mean, you have to have sort of fluid pricing throughout a production, knowing that younger people don't have that expendable income. I remember reading an article in the LA Times where the study had been done, and it said that in any major metropolitan city, there's no more than about 150,000 people that are real theater goers, meaning that, for instance, when I go to a wedding and I say to the person next to me, I'm a publicist, I represent mostly theater, and they say, oh, I love theater. And I say, oh, what have you seen recently? And they say, oh, I saw Wicked last year. And they think,
I get that
they
too,
think
yeah,
they're a theater enthusiast. But what this survey that the LA Times reported on was that there's really only about 150,000 people in each city that will see maybe four shows a month, or that are truly theater enthusiasts, and how every arts organization is chasing those 150,000 people. And so knowing there's that core group, and knowing in Chicago we have 300 theater companies, it becomes, how do we reach young people? How do we reach people, older people? How do we reach middle-aged people in general, just to keep shows running? So I think that for us, we do a lot of work on a show to make sure that, as I mentioned earlier, the vegetable soup recipe of how you try to get it everywhere and every angle. And I mean, now there's everything from pet bloggers, and you got a show that might have some actor that has a pet. We're trying to get them in there, and then we're working with the mom bloggers and pulling some mom from the cast to do an interview there, and in every which way, just trying to hit every demographic that we possibly can.
Do you think in the long run, introducing children to theater, how important is that?
Well, that's the number one. Yeah. That's absolutely it. And I see with my children, had I not taken them to so much theater, they wouldn't love it the way that they do. And thankfully, all of my theaters, for the most part, do children's programming. And it's really unfortunate, the lack of funding for that type of experience. I know when I was a kid, we always did field trips to the theater. And,
yeah, I did too. Yeah.
And it's the bus costs and it's insurance issues. And it's hard. It's much more challenging now to get those kids in. But I couldn't agree with you more that it starts at that point from there.
Okay. Another question that a couple people asked me to ask you was, when you hire a publicist, what do you look for? If someone is interested, let's say they like theater and they're not a writer, they're not an actor, they're not a technical person, but they want to be involved in it.
That's such a great question. Well, the number one thing that I say, sometimes when I'm interviewing and I say to the candidate, why do you want to be a publicist? And he or she will say, well, I like people. I think to myself, well, a cannibal likes people. That's not a good answer. I mean, my answer of why I like being a publicist, I feel like I'm a rainmaker. I feel like I am good at moving the economy. I mean, there's a lot of power in being a publicist. The idea that you are, I look at it as like this major ripple effect. And I think as I went on to be the director of public relations at the Hyatt Regency Chicago, which is Chicago's largest hotel and Hyatt's largest property, I began to see the power of PR in that I could get press on the hotel and the sales department could use the press. Let's say it was on a new green program or something that we did that a client really liked and they booked a group. That kept the housekeepers working. And in turn, that kept cab drivers driving these tourists to restaurants working. So you as a publicist have so much power to keep people working. And I mean, how you're changing lives in that way. If we can keep a show like First Date working, all the actors working in that show, that's like, there's a crew, there's behind the scenes people, that's 30 people.
And in the area, the restaurants. And,
exactly. Yeah, the cab drivers. So a publicist is an extremely powerful person, but publicists by their very nature, in terms of what I'm looking for to you in reference to your question, I'm looking for someone that, and this, I would describe myself this way, check your ego at the door. I mean, someone who's a humble person who will do just about anything. I mean, I remember Drilling Water Tower getting a bottle of Windex, and with my coworker, Kate Hughes, she washed 200 seats. I washed 200 because they needed to be washed down before the show. Someone that is a great multitasker because you're literally going from one project to the next in an agency setting very quickly. Obviously, someone that's a good writer. It's very important to be able to tell a story.
The writing is important, right?
It's very important. And someone who's very detail-oriented, because now the way PR works, you send a release out and it has the wrong date or a wrong phone number. It can be on 10 different websites in 15 minutes. And so someone that has a tremendous attention to detail, but someone who's creative, someone who thinks out of the box, someone that has a lot of passion and a lot of energy so that they can, as a spokesperson, I always look at it as such a, It's such a responsibility, but it's such an honor that someone is actually paying me to talk about them all day, to represent them. That's to me is, I couldn't feel more proud of that when, especially at the level that so many of our theaters are. It makes me feel good.
Well, I know one thing with your firm. A couple times I've had to do this where I had to cancellation it, and I need a podcast for Monday. And on a Friday, I have called you at like 2 or 3, and within 15 minutes had an interview and got, and it was terrific. I mean, I don't know how you do that.
I have a great team of people. Yeah. Like I said, and Kate Hughes, I hired her right out of school 14 years ago. We've been working together 14 years.
She's a real pro. Yeah.
Leanne Weicker hired her 10 years ago, another total pro. You know, we subsequently had other people come into the company that Kate and Leanne have helped mentor, and we all have the same style. We're really a little family there, and we all work well together. And I'm very, very fortunate.
You also do public relations for some national shows too, don't you?
We do. We represent Celtic Thunder nationally.
I remember, seeing that.
Yeah, and we did for 6 years. We represented the Screwtape Letters when it played at the Mercury, and then it moved on for a national tour.
That lasted 6 years?
It
was terrific.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
6 years, and then The Great Divorce from the same producer. And then actually for Broadway in Chicago, we represented the national tour of the Sing-Along Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
So we did that for a year.
Is that, how much of a challenge is in that when you're playing on the national stage? Is that different than Chicago, or is it?
Well, it is different, and I'll tell you how it's different. Part of why I love my job so much is that as an usher, I used to seat a lot of the press people that I see today. They've known me since I was 14 years old. And that kind of relationship with them having seen me go through 2 pregnancies and losing my father. And I mean, I have a unique relationship with the Chicago press when you've known them for that many years. And certainly when you go into another city, that's not given. I think over years of representing tours, for instance, the Screwtape Letters, our client played the same venues 3 and 4 times. So you begin to develop a relationship with the local press, but it's not the way you feel it in the way I feel it in Chicago.
Yeah, but your techniques.
The techniques
are pretty well universal.
They're all the same. Yeah. Absolutely all the same. And I mean, unfortunately, our world is is so much about email. Many writers just want to be emailed information. And when I started my career, of course, I so remember I would call Richard Christensen, and I would call Hedy Weiss, and I'd call Sid Smith, and I would say, "Do you have 5 minutes so that I can talk to you about this?" Because then I was going to pop the press release in the mail. And so now, obviously, it's much different. I mean, send the information over that way. But I think publicists know which way which critics prefer to receive information. For instance, I know that Chris Jones, I talk to him very frequently. He likes for me to call him with information as opposed to emailing him information. And I would think
I didn't know that with Bob Chris. Yeah, that's
he
cool.
does. Yeah. I think I talk to him pretty much every day, if not every other day. And so, and all the clients, I mean, I was thinking even last night, I had a client that was asking me about seating, and publicists know exactly where certain people should sit, sometimes because someone's handicapped or sometimes they've been ill. Mm-hmm. Just the politics of seating is part of being a publicist.
I know some of my fellow reviewers that have their hands on. They have to have certain places. Yeah.
Yes. And so there's a great deal that goes into it probably that people aren't aware of, but it's all really enjoyable work.
So what do you see the future of public relations in terms of help in theater? How do you see it evolving?
Yeah, I think social media more than ever has kept publicists working, and I think that
Facebook is important in it because you can reach the exact demographic you want, right?
Absolutely, but you know, travel agents obviously, you know, the that whole industry sort of died, and I think what was so scary for a while before all these social media platforms were developed was there were so many newspapers and magazines going out of business. There was less theater coverage on TV, obviously. There were many TV stations, even in Chicago, as you know, used to have a regular critic that would report for a couple minutes on a theater production.
Yeah.
And so
now I think Hedy's about the only one. I think Chris Jones has one too.
Okay. But I mean, social media has opened up so many platforms for publicists to help a production. And frankly, it's more than Facebook or Twitter. There's Vimeo, there's Keek, there's so many different. I mean, we are managing for our clients about 10 different media social platforms. So that's created actually a great deal of work for publicists. So
what? Are you going to stay with this or do you?
Oh, I always joke, and my whole team knows. I always say I'm going to die at my desk.
So this is more than a career in a company. It's a lifestyle.
I can't imagine not doing what I do every day.
What last question? What advice would you give young people who might want to get involved with public relations?
Well, I would say to first determine what category they want to work in, because you never work a day in your life if you love the category that you're working in. So first figure out, like I said, do you want to represent theater? Do you want to represent fashion? Do you want to represent sports?
Didn't realize that's really important.
That's the most important thing.
Okay.
And I think now look for an internship. We actually have several interns at our agency each quarter. So we're always open to that. But have an internship so they have some practical experience, I think. And internships sometimes teach you what you don't want to do. I interned for a local newspaper thinking I wanted to be a reporter my junior year in college, and had publicists calling to pitch me. And I thought, I think I'd like to be on the PR side. I thought it was more creative. And
that's a good point.
And yeah. I learned what I didn't want to do then. And an internship is extremely valuable. And I had such great internship experiences that at the agency, we all really try to give the interns the same very productive experience, where we don't want them fetching coffee. We want them to really learn what it's like to be a publicist.
And haven't you hired some from interns?
I have, actually. Yeah. Leanne and Catherine Nichols were both interns for me. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And I think people are going to appreciate your enthusiasm. And thanks for listening, folks. And remember, go see a play this week.